What's up, everybody?
What's happening, family?
And welcome back to another episode and season of Is This Gonna Cause an Argument? My name is Angel Tanksley. I am the just honored wife of this man beside me. Professionally, I go by Angel Akita Moore. And in these streets, I'm known as the one, the only. That chick Angel, that chick Angel. And I am so glad that I can kick it on over to my husband. Tell him who you are, baby. Tell him.
I'm the other host of This Is Gonna Cause an Argument, Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank. What's happening, fam? Welcome to the new year. Welcome to the new season. This is a podcast week, Angel. Yeah, I was perfectly fine.
You were perfectly fine.
Anyway, this is a podcast we do every single week. And we talk about all the good things. We talk about all the bad things, relationships, families, current events. We give advice. Sometimes it's right. Most times it's not. And we are joined every single week. Angel.
Yes.
That's distracting. Could you stop?
It's distracting. Could I do it quieter is what you mean to ask.
Anyway, we are joined by our media family. Their media family is in our Patreon. Okay, our Patreon is a people. We call them a media family because we're a little bit closer. We talked to them on the way here because we was running late because Angel was taking too damn long. Instead of singing, she could have been getting ready. We would have been here an hour earlier. But here we are. And you can be a part of their media family. All you got to do is sign up on patreon.com/thatchickangel for the low, low of $5 a month. We also joined by some wonderful sponsors. Angel, go on, let them know who they are.
Our wonderful sponsors.
You are f***ing annoying today.
What?
Gosh. Why are you doing all that?
You can't say effing when I'm about to tell who our sponsors are.
Take it right out.
Our sponsors for today are HelloFresh, BetterHelp, and Lumi Deodorant. I can't wait to tell you more about them. These are all sponsors that we actually really do like and appreciate. And we hope that you like them too. And if you are someone who wants to give them a try, please use our promo codes, our URLs to let them know that we sent you over there to them. Thank you, sponsors. You don't like my singing is what you're saying. Well, if you sang more, I'd sing less. You're just not going to talk to me.
Finish doing your thing.
I'm talking to you. I'm doing my thing.
I'm not going
to
sing more.
You don't like my singing? That's a question.
I was just purposely like trying to.
No, actually, I'm not. This is what's crazy.
Poke at me right now.
Is that Marcus thinks that my like singing a lot and singing during inappropriate times has anything to do with him. It doesn't. It
gives really, Simone? Tank need a nap? I'm just over here trying to introduce the show. She, it's almost like a sibling. Just I ain't touching you.
No, that's where you're confused. It has nothing to do.
But I said
with
it's
you.
Distracting.
So I did it quietly.
I can still hear you.
You could hear what I was saying.
I couldn't hear what you were saying. I could still hear you. I couldn't hear what you were saying the first time because I was ignoring it.
I honestly thought I was doing it extremely quiet. I covered my mouth. I made sure it was super duper focused.
Yeah, we usually kick this off with one of two segments, this podcast. Tanksley Pride and in our feelings. Tanksley Pride is one of something about one of our four boys. We call them Tanksley Pride. And in my feelings is something that you want to get off your chest, something that's getting on your nerves, or something that's got you feeling great. Which one you want to do, Angel?
I mean, I personally want to do Tanksley Pride.
Let's do Tanksley Pride. Go ahead.
So many things that I could share because I just finished doing Kwanzaa with the boys. It is the most we've ever done for Kwanzaa. Let me tell you, that Chat GPT... it is super duper helpful for me specifically when it comes to jumping off ideas. So I had put in before Kwanzaa because I didn't have a lot of time to focus on it because we worked dang near up to Christmas of like in ChatGPT fun kid friendly activities to do for Kwanzaa. and it gave me a list of ideas. I didn't use most of them. And then for each principal, I looked at different activities that could go along with the principal by asking ChatGPT, what's something that would be really fun to do for Umoja Unity? And that's where the Unity Pledge came from. I was like, oh, that's good. That way we're working together collaboratively. What I loved is that even though they would start off kind of like, okay, well, you're interrupting our video game. Yeah. We're talking to our friend for us to do Kwanzaa. They've fully participated. Even my 14
quickly got into it every time.
My 14-year-old teenager, he also took it seriously. Even Amara, who only really participated in 3 days, when we did do it, he was fully engaged with the activity. And the first day, I was telling Marcus, on Umoja, we did a gratitude circle where we basically took one person at the table, say we said Amar, and each one of us told Amar why we are grateful for him. When I tell you, this broke me down to my brake pads. I was just like, and then I just love your confidence. I'm grateful. I wish everybody had the type of blind confidence you have in yourself. It'll take you far. I was like, you do have the most res, and I am grateful for that. So it was just really beautiful. It was beautiful to hear them express their gratitude towards each other. Because at the end of the day, for real, the reason why little Marcus ended up not being the only child is because we didn't want him to be the only child.
Yeah, and he was a very easy child.
Oh, so yeah.
It was like, easy to be like, oh, let's do this again.
Yeah.
Boy, were we wrong.
But like, we had them so that they would have each other. Like, because we could have just left it at little Marcus and he would be living a great life. He knows that too. But we also know, like, I know how I am. I'm very close to my sisters.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we never wanted an only child.
I know. There was a point in time after I had little Marcus, I was like, that's it. I'm not doing no more. We were one and done. That wasn't my intention at first, but then I was like, yeah, I don't need no more. But then,
once he hit, what, 3, 4, was like, this boy's lonely in here with us.
His little babiness was leaving. And I took the 3 older boys. We got dressed up. We went to go see MJ the musical. We had amazing seats. I'm talking about phenomenal. And everybody stopped us because they were in their, like, you know, blazers or their suits. Mm-hmm. I was in my sparkly New Year's Eve outfit. And everybody was like, oh, my goodness, you all look amazing. I was like, thank you. And the boys really enjoyed the show. They had a lot of questions about Michael Jackson. But it was great. So I've had an amazing winter break with my kids. Kwanzaa was the highlight, and I look forward to, you know, really cementing this as our family tradition.
Yeah. I'm dead in this moment. I realized somebody said Amara's signature was
On the Unity Pledge?
I just never realized you woke me up to sign. I didn't have no idea. I was like,
I said, I looked at it. I saw the post. Pledge.
I was like, did I write that?
Did y'all see it? I'm sorry. Make sure you go to my post to see Amar's portrait. They did self-portraits for Kumba.
Yeah.
And Amar wanted to do it. And somebody was like, Amar's portrait looks terrifying. I was like, it does. It looks even more terrifying now that they've added more paint. It's amazing.
Look like them pictures. You remember that movie Bird Box?
Yeah.
The people that drew what they saw.
Yes. That's exactly.
No, my tank surprise story. Look, just watching these boys on this winter break, this holiday break that they've been on, has been extremely entertaining. Not so Marcus. He just extended his weekend. Like, we ain't seen too much of him.
Yep.
But the twins and Amar, specifically Amar, nobody on this planet has had a better break than him. It's like he knows he's on winter break, and he has lived every day to its absolute fullest.
Yes.
The amount of energy he's had, it'll hit a point in time where he'll be busy doing stuff, running around. Then all of a sudden, he'll get what they call the zoomies that dogs and cats be getting.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll just start running around the house. And he will do that for 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, hey, you're going to hurt yourself. many, many times he did. Many different days, on many different occasions, multiple times a day, he hurt himself. Mm-hmm. After that pain was gone, he was right back at it. But just watching him interact with everybody, like my mom was in town. Of course, he spent majority of his time with her, interacting with his brothers, with us. I was just like, with the dog, he threw some money in the dang, in the water cages for the turtles.
He threw money?
He threw like $30 in fives and tens in that with tank.
In the big tank.
Kai came and told me, Amar put some of our money in the turtle tank. I said, what? I'm thinking coins. I'm like, all right, maybe he done seen. Let me get there. Hold on. So I'm like, what? So I go up there and there's just fives, ones, and tens floating around. Some done sunk to the bottom of his dang turtle.
Did the turtle try to eat any of them?
Maybe before I got there. I don't know. So I go in there and get it out, and I'm looking, and I was like, how did he even get up here? Don't nobody know how. I'm thinking he done pulled one of those chairs over there, opened up a drawer, Spider-Man'd his little ass up there, and threw their money in there. I don't even know where he got the money from.
Yeah, that's also a good question. Well, I guess he was just like, Merry Christmas to the turtles. We have, that was, you gonna tell him about that?
I'm gonna talk about that too. We're getting rid of the turtles. Round of applause. Come on, clap, cheer. I'd already
the whistle.
Y'all heard it? I came over this conclusion. So I went and I cleaned out the turtle cage. I cleaned out the filter and stuff, filled it back up. And then I was just like, no, I'm not doing this no more. So I told Angel, I was like, we getting rid of the turtles. Like, point blank, period. Turtles got to go. Is nobody, like, the way they feed the turtles, the way they feed them, you would have to clean the cage and clean the filter out probably once, twice a week. Mm-hmm. Right now, I do it about once a month, because the way I feed them, I make sure all their food don't go right over to the filter and clog it up and the water get all cloudy. Twins don't know to do that, even though I instructed them to do that. Even cleaning the cage out, that thing is heavy. Nobody else can pick it up and carry it downstairs to dump out the old water, to put in new water and wash the whole thing out, spray it off. Nobody else can do that. I'm like, this is solely falling on me, and I'm not doing it. I didn't want these damn turtles. I'm not taking care of them. And then in the discovery and the realization of me finally saying we're getting rid of these, we notice size turtle, his eyes done swell shut. He can't see. The turtle ain't eating. He over there just, what's that movie? Blind Fury, just he can't see. So we had to look that up. One of them weekends, I don't even know if it was a weekend, Angel and Kennedy was calling around trying to find a vet.
Is Ujamaa, because that's why you had to do Kwanzaa that day.
Yeah, I had to do Kwanzaa with him that day.
The 27th or the 28th.
Yeah, so they going around trying to find a vet to take care of a turtle. Apparently, that's like the anesthesiologist of vets is somebody that works on reptiles. I don't understand why they're considered exotic pets. You can go out to any pond or lake and find you a damn turtle. Why is that exotic? But anyway, so all them people, every single turtle vet was gone until like the 15th. And Angel was like, well, the turtle going to be dead by the end. But apparently these things can live a lot longer than we thought without food.
So hopefully I'll be able to get him into a vet this weekend. There was one that had openings on the 6th. So hopefully we'll be able to get poor Zach seen. We went to an ER, me and Kennedy, my assistant, we went to an ER. And we were going to be there for like 3 or 4 hours. We already had dinner plans with friends. And so I was just like, give me the turtle back. I was like, because they told us to come at 5. We thought it was an appointment at 5. It was, no, just show up and wait at 5. Yeah. Well, I could have showed up at 2 and waited. Why y'all have me come so late?
So we got to get like, as much as I don't want these turtles, I do like animals. So I'm like, we got to get him well, and then these things is gone.
I heard that there's a turtle sanctuary. Did you tell me that? There's a turtle sanctuary in Calabasas? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, they was going.
That's where
they was going to be God's pet, regardless. Either somebody was going to come get him, or he was going to put it in the Lord's hand, because these things was going to get dropped off near a body of water.
So they're going to go to a turtle sanctuary to be with their yeah. people and their kind.
But the way I explained it to the boys, I was like, it takes a lot. I said, I didn't know this before y'all got these turtles, but it takes a lot to take care of any aquatic animal. Anything that has anything to do living in water takes a lot of work. I said, Lottie, for instance, this dog is very easy. She don't need to be walked because our yard is big enough. Y'all don't bathe her. Y'all don't even clean up after this dog. Only thing y'all need to do is put water in her bowl and food in her dish. And she's a grazer, so you don't have to feed her at a certain amount of time. You can just keep food in her bowl, and she only eats when she's hungry. I said, but guess what y'all don't do? Don't nobody do. Keep water in this bowl or keep food in this bowl. Look over. The bowl is empty. Both bowls are completely dry. And I'm like, that's a problem. I said, y'all need to learn this responsibility. When I was coming up and I had pets, if I didn't feed them, they was going to die. I was going to get in trouble, and I wasn't going to get no more. So I had to take care of my animals. Y'all don't do this. Y'all don't care to. Because if you did, it would be taken care of. Y'all care about these tablets and switches. That's why they say charged. So I said that for that reason, these turtles are gone.
Well, before we continue on, we're going to jump to our first sponsor, HelloFresh. You can get farm fresh pre-portioned ingredients delivered right to your doorstep with HelloFresh. Make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. Listen, that's why it's America's number one meal kit. We, the Tanksley, started off our new year with some HelloFresh. I made these amazing taquitos last night that the kids murdered, and so did my husband, with a nice little guacamole. And there was another. Oh, I made fresh pico de gallo. I sound like a chef. Okay, that's what HelloFresh does for me. All right, so whether your resolution is to save money, eat better, or stress less, HelloFresh is here to help you to do all three. Say hello to your most delicious year yet with fresh ingredients and chef-crafted recipes at the price you'll like, delivered right to your door. Each HelloFresh box is packed with farm-fresh ingredients, and everything arrives in pre-portioned right to your doorstep for less hassle and less wasted food. Don't let recipe boredom strike, because HelloFresh has more options than ever before. Dig into their biggest menu yet with over 45 dinner options to choose from weekly, and even more market add-on items that suit any lifestyle. Again, I absolutely want to tell you right now, love HelloFresh. Last night, I really wasn't in the mood to cook. We had spent hours taking down Christmas decorations. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I also don't want to spend the money eating out. So I looked through my HelloFresh box, and I was like, oh, these taquitos take no time to throw together. Threw them together. The boys got full. My husband got full. And they had a good meal. This is why I love HelloFresh. So this is what I want you to do. Go to HelloFresh.com/ArgueFree.
ArgueFree.
And use code ArgueFree.
ArgueFree.
For free breakfast for life. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/ArgueFree.
ArgueFree.
With code ArgueFree.
ArgueFree.
It's HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Yeah, Kai cried his little butt off when cried. I told him. We did that on Ujamaa. I was like, collective work and responsibility. I was like, it's not a collective responsibility if daddy's the only one who does it. And God was like, well, daddy doesn't let me feed the turtles. And I was like, I know.
Yeah, but I let you feed Lottie. She hungry right now.
Regardless, the turtles are going. They were a little sad.
Yeah, but they don't be caring about them turtles. Maybe once a week they're like, oh, yeah, we got turtles. Let's look at them.
Well, we're going to get them better. I think little Marcus cared. That's why little Marcus is like, it's not going to die. They can survive. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we had to prepare a side. We was like, now look, yours is going to die. Mm-hmm. Just get your heart and mind.
This is what I said. Get your heart and mind ready. The turtle
can't
die.
See nothing right now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But,
nah, yeah, he can go probably a month or two. I don't know. I had a snake. He went 6 months without eating, so.
Jesus. Well, let's jump to our next segment, one that we haven't done in a while, and that's Tanksley Tiffs. So as a reminder, Tanksley Tiffs are, first of all, this podcast is called Is This Going to Cause an Argument? And sometimes arguments naturally ensue because he's him and I'm me. Well, Tanksley Tiffs is me bringing up something that we do argue about on a regular basis. That's typically a lighter topic, and I don't think we've talked about this before, as a Tanksley Tiff, but we have talked about it and argued about it, or actually you've held your tongue and wanted to squeeze my head off of my neck. And that is tidying up.
That's not a light subject, though.
Look, y'all probably didn't catch it. I could see it because it was minute. My husband's body posture just changed. I said tidying up in your chest filled with so much tension.
That's not a light subject. Let's not.
It's going to be fine.
It's not.
I promise. It's going to be fine. So what is your version of tidying up? What is your, like, if you had your way? Because this is where I feel like our is. Because you recall, we lived in an apartment together.
Mm-hmm.
In the second bedroom, which was like a catch-all, was really the only part of the apartment that had a issue of staying clean.
Mm-hmm.
So our only argument was over clothes getting put up. Because
the bathroom has always been a problem. And that apartment saved the relationship because I had my own bathroom.
Right. But my bathroom, my sink inside of the master bedroom, that thing didn't stay a mess. Are you about to be?
I would disagree, but that's a matter of opinion.
So anyhow. Now, jump to us having children. When we had just little Marcus, I want the record to reflect. Every night after I put him to bed, do you recall, I used to clean up all of his toys and put them back where they were supposed to be in the living room and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part at that old house, I was over keeping like the kitchen clean. Do you recall having to be the one to clean the kitchen?
No, I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
Now we have four kids. Okay. And our bedroom is a hot ass mess. I take full responsibility. Marcus keeps two areas in that room not neat, but let's say there's 12 areas of the room. I am responsible for the other 10. Okay. However, whatever, I feel like I'm the only one that goes into the boys' room and helps them clean and get their room looking like something. Why?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't care to focus on the boys' room when the rest of the house, I feel, is a complete shit show. Their room takes up very little square footage and don't nobody go in there but them. When there's things in the hallway leading up to their room, there's things in the hallway leading up to the steps that goes up to the hallway that goes in their room. When the living room is a shit show, dining room and the other living room, when there's clutter everywhere, I don't give two shits about their room that they only sleep in. I could care less.
This is the thing. The stuff that's spilling out into those areas, like you said, is stuff that's supposed to be, other than when I've purged their clothes. This is another thing. A lot of the mess in our house is either clothes related or paper related. The paper related stuff, I don't think I get a lot of help with. And that's our mail. Like, I'm constantly having to sort through the mail, open the mail, and then figure out where it needs to be filed. The clothes that end up being scattered about, either mainly it's the boys' clothes, and then it'll be mine on top of it, like this jacket or like a pair of shoes. So I have to like constantly remind myself by the end of the week, take all your goddamn shoes back upstairs, Angel. Take all your jackets back upstairs, Angel. So that's the reason why I feel like if their room was clean, they would know where to take their stuff.
Okay. I'm trying to keep this light. On multiple occasions, I've pointed out that the stuff making a mess of the house does not belong to the boys.
What do you mean?
It is not their stuff that's all up and down the hallway and on the dining room table and in the living room.
I would love to hear. You're saying this is all my stuff?
It's not all yours, but very little.
Got it.
So this is an example. One of the things that sends me up the wall. Angel gets a lot of mail, not envelopes, packages. These packages are opened. The content of the packages is removed from it. And the contents stays where it was opened, as well as the remainder of the package, the boxes, the filler, tissue paper, little styrofoam peanuts or whatever. That stuff just kind of stays in that area. And I'll say, hey, when is that going to get cleaned up? I'm going to get to it. All right. So that happens a lot.
I love this. I love that this is what's being said on our kitchen counter. Currently, there are iPads, tablets, oat milk that I didn't pull out of the refrigerator. My purse is there. And then there are cords. There is random foods that I didn't eat. Plates and stuff. Somehow that's mine.
No, that's not yours.
Let me finish what I'm saying. In the living room, 50 million blankets. I took the time, folded up all the blankets. Marcus was like, we don't need half these blankets. Put them on the ottoman. And then those blankets got spread all across the house. Somehow, that's my stuff. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt, I purposefully go into that living room and I gather all my shoes. And I put the boy's shoes typically, or Lamar's shoes, I'll try to put in the hallway for him to eventually take up. Okay. And when it comes to when I get packages, especially if I take the packages upstairs in my room, the twins have one chore outside of giving Lottie food and water, and that is emptying the trash. I have reminded them at least 5 times, the trash in our bathroom, when you see the boxes by the trash can, take those also downstairs. I have asked little Marcus to do it. They don't do it. And I'm like, I'll just keep reminding them because this is their chore. But somehow, oh, and then the dining room table. I really don't know how I got blamed for anything other than mail. Our mail. Both of us. You're saying that most of that stuff is mine that be on the dining room table?
No.
But that's what you said.
I said collectively where your stuff gathers. So let's rewind back. Let's rewind back.
Please.
Your shoes. You said you go in there and you get your shoes. Angel, there was one day your shoes collected in the living room for about a week. I picked up 8 pairs of your shoes and took them out of there.
I believe
so. Yes, you say stuff like, I go in there and I clean up my shoes. It ain't done daily.
I said once a week. I literally said that.
So you don't see how that could be. You wear a different pair of shoes every day of the week.
Yes. You act like I sat here and lied. I said once a week.
Okay. And right now, yeah, the kitchen counter, usually the tablets is not a problem because we don't let them watch their, we don't give them no screen time during the week. But they on break right now. So, yeah, right now, the house been a mess, period, just because of the holidays. You got Christmas Day, crap all over the place, leading up, wrapping gifts, shopping, receipts, bags. That's a given. I'm saying outside of the holiday season. Because things have been abnormally, that's abnormally messy. That's why I try to turn a blind eye. But I'm saying the week to week, throughout the year, I don't understand why this was even brought up. You've even admitted that you are the problem. You've admitted that on the podcast. You finally said it out loud, like end of last year.
I'm the problem, definitely. But like this, I know that what I'm bringing up is that if you can't see that us having four kids, and if I'm the only one that's helping with their mess on a regular basis, it's not, it's, everything's not going to get done.
So every day I don't tell them, hey, when they come in home from school, hey, get your shoes, get your backpack, anything that's yours, get it up to your room. I don't tell them that daily.
You do.
All right. My thing is, like back a couple years ago when you was on tour, I would clean the house. The house would stay clean. And you would come home from tour, unload a suitcase right there in the living room, be busy during the days that you were home. You would repack a different suitcase and leave out. And there's your stuff. The boys' stuff wasn't all over the house. The stairs was not, the living room wasn't messy.
Okay, so this is what we'll do. We'll take mental notes for the rest of the year.
I done took mental notes for the past 8 years.
And I'm saying we're going to take mental notes for the rest, for at least a month. And I want you to be able to show me how all of this shit is my fault.
I'm not saying it's all your fault.
I want you to show me whatever the hell you're saying.
I've showed you what I'm saying.
No, I don't see it. So okay, let's do it.
See? So we there now.
How are we there? Where?
So I've showed you.
And I'm saying okay, I don't agree.
In the kitchen, in our bathroom. That one box, because Angel, she'll put a box. Oh, we have a trash can in our bathroom.
Is it the box it, currently there?
No, it's a, okay. This was a couple weeks ago, maybe a week or two ago.
That there you was kept a box, pushing it over and in I'm trash.
Like, babe, why can't you just take this box, this big box downstairs? She was like, well, the boys are supposed to take it. Okay, they didn't. So I left it there thinking, okay, she'll take it down.
I don't know why.
I got up. I tripped over it one night, threw it back on her side of the sink. Why is this in my... That's what sets me off. If I trip over something, if I have to step over something that clearly should be an open path, that I consider that disgust. Like, that drives me insane. Why is there stuff right here in a clear, even walk path? So I kicked the box over there. The next day, she set it back on top. Finally, I just took the box downstairs. I know this is the boys' thing, but these boys do whatever you tell them to. You could have called them up in that moment. Y'all take this box.
I literally did. I said, little Marcus, after you get out of the bathroom, take this box downstairs.
And he didn't.
So how you going to tell me? How you going to tell me? If you tell them to do it, they'll do it.
So now the boys don't listen to you.
I'm telling you now, I asked for that box to be removed 3 times. Every time you threw it over to my side, I put it back by the trash can.
And that's where the thing, like, if I end up doing things my way, a whole lot of stuff's going to get thrown away. Those blankets, we got 40 blankets in our living room. We only need 2. Throw them other damn things away. Why we got all these blankets? That's why they end up everywhere, because the boys want a certain blanket, so they pull all the blankets out. Pull out, like, why we have these? Get rid of them.
Your face is twitching.
Yeah. I said this wasn't a light topic. I don't want to talk about this. The clutter, it gives me anxiety. I don't like it. I can't deal with it.
Nobody likes it. That is what will irritate me, is your the thought process.
I can't look past it the way other people can.
We look past it differently, yeah. If I'm not going to get help in other things, that it becomes the least of the priority.
More dumpsters will be ordered.
More clutter will happen.
It was Angel's box. They said, whose box was it?
It was my box. So in our bathroom, we have a large trash can, but some of the boxes can't fit in the trash can. So just like the way we do our recycle downstairs, if it can't fit in the trash can, you put it beside the trash can. The boys are responsible. The twins are responsible for going to all the bathrooms in the week right before, in all the rooms, and gathering the trash. Somehow, some way, even if I put the box right beside the trash can, because that's where he gets pissed that it's at, so he'll throw it on my side of the bathroom.
It's not just that box. This is anytime we get a box.
Yeah, he will get pissed off if it's right beside the trash can, and he'll throw it on my side. And I'm like, no, leave it beside the trash can so that they will grab it. And I will remind them. I'll be like, don't just grab the bag out of the trash can, grab the box beside it. In that week, I reminded them about that box 3 times. In multiple times, I would come back upstairs and it would be thrown back on my side of the bathroom. And I'm like, no, I didn't told them to come grab the box by the trash can. If it's over here by my stuff, they're not going to grab it. There you have it. I'm not going to work this hard every day and then also not have the kids do the chores that they're supposed to do and be the one to have to do it. I'm one who cooks. I'm one who does a bunch of the stuff. Not to say you don't. You do as well. But I do see that I'm the one that's fully blamed for the house. Point taken. Let's move on to the next segment. I thought that was good, Tanksley, too.
Mm-hmm, it was great.
I don't know why being sarcastic. I really am. So I did this exercise with the boys that I do it with myself for the year. And I was like, Marcus, you should do this, too. This is the main topic, y'all. And it's how we do our... No. Before I jump into the main topic, y'all, let's jump into this next sponsor. Sorry, have to keep up with that too. BetterHelp. We are grateful for today's sponsor.
Yeah, we are.
BetterHelp for sponsoring today's podcast. Also read the ads. So, you guys, what are some things you want to keep the same about yourself or your life in 2024? Where are you already questioning it? And I think the opposite of new year, new you. Think the opposite of that, okay? Not all that stuff. Maybe you finally organized one part of your space and you want to tackle another. Or you are taking supplements and you're feeling really good. I know I did too. I was so happy. And now you want to actually eat breakfast too. Well, therapy can help you find your strengths so you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. I know that being in therapy for the past year and a half has been so eye-opening for me in the things that I want to lean into. I think a lot of times we get very focused on the things that we don't do well. And what I love about therapy is that it was very, very fundamental in me leaning into the things that I do well. Because who's going to be good at every single thing? That does not exist. So it was very empowering for me for therapy because I felt like I was getting to live the best version of myself. It also can help people who have experienced trauma, but that's not just what therapy is for. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's actually done entirely online, so it makes it convenient for you. You can do it at any time, anywhere, whether you're in your car, whether you're in your bathroom, whether you're in your garage. Therapy can be done anywhere. All you have to do is take a brief little survey, and BetterHelp will match you with a licensed therapist. What's even better is that you can switch therapists at any time at no additional charge to you, because BetterHelp wants you to have the right fit, because that's how you're going to get the best help. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/argue.
Argue.
Today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/argue.
Argue.
Okay. I was making sure I didn't miss anything.
What that. Happened to this wheel?
This was Amara's wheel.
It looked like a drunk spider made a web.
I had all the kids fill this out. And Amara, again, we did this during Kwanzaa, during Nia. Which means purpose, and it was day 5. And I took this Skillshare class about a year and a half ago. And one of the classes I took was on doing a vision board. And I have to say, it was the best way I've ever made a vision board before. And I said, this is the only way I'm going to do it from here on out. I felt before, even though I liked vision boards because I love crafting, it didn't have as much meaning a lot of times. It had meaning. It was just, but it was daunting to put together, right? Because you're like, what are all the things I want in my life? Jesus, there's so many. How do I focus? How do I find images that represent every single thing? Well, a part of this woman's class is something she calls the Wheel of Life. Now, imagine a pizza, right? And with a pizza, you have the cut slices. Each slice represents an important piece of your life. Now, Now that you have the shape of this wheel, inside of this circle, the circles, there are multiple circles that all radiate from the center. So you have a small circle in the very middle, then a bigger circle around that, then a bigger circle, then a bigger circle, then a bigger circle. So it looks like rings inside of a circle. Each ring represents a number, 1 through 10. One represents being the least satisfied. 10 represents being the most satisfied. So you take each slice and you decide which ring you're sitting on. I did this with my kids. I did it for myself. I didn't bring mine, and I don't know why I didn't, but I could still give what I thought. And I would love for you all to do it with us. And if you're watching this, put yours, if you don't mind, you don't have to give us all your business. Put your number in the comments as you watch this of where you are in satisfaction for these different areas. So let's start off with something light and fun since we just left another light and fun discussion. What I thought would be light and fun, and until I saw, I know what I saw. So, anyways, category number one, fun and recreation. How do you feel like fun and recreation is in your life? Where do you think it's at?
On 1 to 10, is that what this is?
Yeah. 10 being most satisfied, 1 being the least.
Fun and recreation, I put at a 7.
Okay, I think mine would be I think mine was like a 7 as well. What would you think would improve it?
Shit, a nappy. The water was like over full. what would improve my fun and recreation?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's a 7, but it's not a priority. See what I'm saying?
If it were a priority, it'd be higher?
I think so.
Just if you made it a priority.
Yeah, if I made it a priority, but I don't make fun and recreation a priority, it's a... Yeah, as of right now, I guess it would probably be different if I still had my 9 to 5 and like miserable at work.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a higher priority. Even if it was low as satisfactory, it would be a higher priority.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, moving over to a career, going from a career that I didn't absolutely love anymore to doing something, granted, I don't feel like I'm living out my wildest dreams,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely don't mind being, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is something I am excited about. So that's where fun and recreation is like, it's at a 7, which, what'd I say, 6, 7?
7.
7. But because it's not a priority, I'm happy where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Mine is a 7 because I am so, I just have to work, I feel like, so much. This is why I try to hold my Thursdays sacred, even though they really don't get to be. And a lot of times that's still not fun. There's the recreation because it is my self-care, but I honestly feel like self-care is actually a responsibility. Like, I know that, like, if I don't take the time to actually take care of myself physically and mentally, I will fall apart. So it's still not like uninhibited fun. So like today though, I looked up a dance studio this morning that I can afford to rent out. Now I just got to find the dance instructor, cause I'm like, I've got to, my girlfriend asked us last night, do you have any hobbies? And I was telling her I used to have hobbies, and I was telling her how me and Kennedy actually talked about that. Marcus has his cars, while he's like trying to have that hobby tie into work for, you know, the tax benefit of it all. At the same time, if there were no cameras, he would still want to do the tinkering around.
There were no cameras yesterday. That's all I was doing was working. Well, not all I was doing, but I worked on the cars for a while.
So he has a hobby that he deals with at least once a week, if not more, where I don't really have one. So that's why mine is a 7, and I want to improve it this year. I'm not happy with it at a 7. Okay, next pie slice, career or school?
10 being most satisfied?
Yes.
I'm put that at a 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I put that low as far as satisfactory because I am not where I want to be, nor am I 100% sure where I want to be.
What would make it better?
I don't know.
Well, obviously, I think discovery.
Knowing and discovering things, of course. And I think, yeah, knowing and seeing. I want to say seeing the path to get there more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What I will say before I give mine is that what I do like about this is that this wheel and what I disliked about vision boards for the past, it made everything feel kind of hazy. Mm-hmm. Like there are actionable things anyone can do if they are unhappy in their career, I guess, like so that it doesn't feel like, well, you know, one day it'll be a 10 or one day it'll at least be an 8. So whether it be like Marcus deciding, well, let me just sit down with a career coach and get somebody to help me lay out this path so that I can be focused or concrete on this is what I'm doing. If it turns out I don't like this thing that I decided to do, guess what? At least I know that's not the path. Yeah. Scratch that off. So if that's something that you're feeling like career or school you're unhappy with, like actually deciding, well, not deciding, sitting down and being honest with yourself about what makes you not happy about it and what are the actionable things I can do to change it, that's what I really love about this wheel.
With the whole vision board thing, I didn't same friend asked me about a vision board. I was like, I don't do vision boards. I have a tablet. I write a list out and I meditate and pray over it multiple times. You know, it might be daily. It might be weekly, once a month, but I keep that on file. That way I'm able to go back this year. I can go back to last year and say, oh, I checked off a whole lot of these things. Let me make out my list for this year and do the same thing. But the whole vision board thing, I'm like, I ain't sitting down with no scissors and glue.
All right, next cat. Oh, my career is 8. Is I either did a 7 or 8. A lot of that is because, again, I almost feel like I'm on a hamster wheel. I did make some progress obviously last year, but I still feel hamster wheelish, and that's not how I want to feel. I want my business to feel like a business. I want my goals to be actionable. I want to scale in some business and not feel like these are just random ideas that are coming to my head. These are ideas that can be executed. It's just I don't have enough hours in a day, or I don't have enough people to delegate certain some actions. So just getting myself to that place, I know. It starts off with me setting up these systems. And I feel like after that, it's going to be gangbusters. And I don't feel like all the ideas I have are actually too much. Probably the unfortunate thing is that I am around a lot of people who have a lot of ideas. And I am watching them execute all of those ideas. But a big part of it is either they have systems set up or teams of people that are already really well-versed in the areas that they are trying to grow in. So that's just what I'm realizing. I need to, like, get that together. Money.
For me, I would say, if I'm being realistic, I put it at a 5.
I put the same.
Yeah.
Tell me why.
The reason I put it at a 5 is like I do feel blessed. I can't put it lower as far as satisfactory because this is a path I didn't see myself going on and it's worked out well. But I can't say that I am doing, because a lot of it I don't know, doing everything I can to boost it to be more. But I'm not mad at where it's at, but I do want to improve it.
Mine is a 5. I don't have enough. I actually have a bunch of streams of passive income, but they are not enough. I would like for my passive income to pass where my active income is today.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I have been blessed to not get really sick, to not be injured, to not be incapacitated. So I am able to continue generating income. If any of those things happen, which God forbid, I don't want them to happen. If any of those things happen, there's so much income that's just going to disappear until I'm able to get back up to, you know, working, you know, strength. So I have like residuals. I have ad share stuff. I have things that, like, I've already done the thing to set it, kind of set it up so I don't have to do that work again. But it's not that it's such a small fraction of the money that I'm able to generate. So I won't feel like I'm at a 10 until my passive supersedes the active that I currently make.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'll be at a 10. Health.
Health, I'm going to put at a 6. Mine is at a 6. It's, I'm not 100% happy where I'm health-wise, but like Angel said, it's like I don't have any like any serious injuries or health issues, and there's room for improvement. And the issues that I have had, like physically, it's just, you know, you age. I'm tall and I'm aging. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It's just me trying to work around to protect those areas and strengthen those areas and understand how those injuries come about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mine is a 9. I mean, the only thing I want to change is I want to get off some of this weight. And I, because I'm healthy as a horse, my weight actually has not had any type of consequence on, like, my actual health. Like, my blood pressure is great. Cholesterol is great. My hormone levels are fantastic. However, I know that, like, being a live performer, it definitely would benefit me not to be carrying around as much weight. So it's not that my weight is currently negatively affecting my health. Maybe one day it would, but it ain't not right now. So if I could get it off, I think I'd be great about it. And then mentally, health-wise, I feel really, really good. I feel like I'm really able to articulate how I feel emotionally. I think I'm able to get out of the negative, like, thoughts, like, not a lot of negative self-talk. So, yeah, I give myself a solid 9. Family.
I'm putting family at 7.
Explain.
Yeah. When I say family, that's like not just immediate family. I'm talking about extended family and everything. Like family here, like everybody in the house, that's I'm fine where that is. It's just extend, like mom being all the way across country, brother figuring out what the hell's up with him, my sister the same. And then I have cousins that are up there in age that, like, health is depleting. And I'm like, what the hell is going on with y'all? Like, where did stuff come from? And that's what a lot of reasons. That's a good reason the way I, like, eat the way I, or try to eat the way I do. Just because I've seen the family history. I'm like, well, I know y'all's diets.
Let me make sure I understand how you're grading this. Are you grading this on how they're doing or
on my thought process about them?
Okay, let me redefine, because these are all of these will things are things that you have to be able to physically do something about. So more so your 9. Relationship with your family.
9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now tell me why. He was like, I think they're 5. They're all doing terrible. No. Things.
Because I'm a great family member to have. No, the boys, I put it at a 9 because, like, it's we've had time during the break, but, like, while they're in school and stuff, it's I sat there, I'm thinking, I'm like, I want to be able to do more with them. But, like, the days just be so goddamn hectic. But I've been able to do things with them, just be outside with them and have fun, have conversations with them.
Angel, we spend a lot of time together. Been picking up after her and stuff. No, it's a nine. It's like I'm happy where I am with family. Just got this 14-year-old, making sure that we can kind of see what's going on with him. Mm-hmm. But he seems to be very open and honest. Damn, Amar.
He's the best.
Oh, he wears me out. Yeah, nine.
I gave my family a 10. I think this is the only category. I think I might have did one other category as a 10. I really love how much I'm able to be active with the kids, but they are not my whole life. It is the work-life balance that I've always wanted, to be an impactful parent and to show them. I literally was teary-eyed the entire. Now, mind you, I cried during Hamilton. Wasn't crying because of the play. It's crying because I took my black boy to see other black men perform on stage. During Michael Jackson, MJ the musical, I'm teary-eyed the entire time because this is what I envision for myself, to be able to take my kids to see the theater. It's not something my mother ever got to do, but I was just like, I feel like that is not something that a lot of families of color, black families, get to say they got to do with their kids. It's a cultured event to see art at its finest. And I'm like, I got to, these boys, they're going to remember this, and this won't be the only time. It won't be like, where are we going? What is this? So, and then same thing, regardless of where my stuff is, I am an amazing wife to this man. Like, God bless him. Oh, God bless him so much. That's the reason why I really, that's how I'm able to get over the mess, is that I say to myself, but you're such a great wife. This is nothing. Remember that, Angel. And then I step over the many of products that are in the middle of our bedroom floor. I do. I am the fact that my mom's here. I have a great relationship with my sister Jackie. I wish I got to talk to you more, but we got to talk for like an hour and a half right after Christmas. It was great. The fact that me and my biological father talk, that's great. I feel like I have and my nieces and nephews, while I don't think I was able to do enough with my eldest niece, who's now deceased, I do feel like when I can pour into her children, as well as her brother's children, it makes me feel like I'm connected to them even more. All right. You know what? I think we have time to go ahead and do the other ad, mm-hmm. which I should have did it on the back of the other one, but... Y'all, it's fine. We just gave them a little space, okay? Want to start this year off fresh? And we mean really, really, really fresh, okay? Lumi deodorant has you covered from your pits to your privates to your feet. Yes, really. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on your pits, but also your feet, privates, and anywhere else we get older. No matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. And they've got over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it. Make the switch to Lumi and you'll unlock the freshest start ever in your freshest butt ever, too. Special offer to new customers. Get $5 off your Lumi starter pack with our exclusive code and link. Use ARGUE at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. I use Lumi, especially their, I don't know if you call it a paste. You squeeze it out of the tube. You rub it on your body, okay? I done told this story several times. Y'all gonna hear it again. Houston is too hot, okay? It don't matter how thin you are. You're going to sweat wherever you got creases. So in some places, you just never thought to use deodorant. Thank God for Lumi, because I was like, I need it everywhere. Everywhere there's a fold, there's a flap. I lifted up my boobs and I was smearing that stuff all under, put it under my fupa, put it between my thighs. I was like, thank you, Lumi, for not having me out here smelling like garbage. Oh, love it. Okay, so some of the things that Lumi has that I just want y'all to know, to know about Lumi. One, it can control odor all day and control odor for Block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. It's baking soda free, paraben free, and it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt. And it's clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. So one more time, let me tell you what we want you to do. Lumi Starter Pack, right, is a perfect gift for new customers. Perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like the mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi Starter Pack with code ARGUE.
ARGUE.
At LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi Deodorant and use code ARGUE.
ARGUE.
Thank you, Lumi, for sponsoring today's podcast. Friends.
Friends, I'm going to put that at a 10. My closest friends, you know, we all spread out across the United States. Not really. We in like 3-4 different states. But we check in when we can. It's not a daily or even a weekly communication with them. But when we do tap in, it's like we pick right up where we left off. Mm-hmm. We all check. It's always just be a random text. Most of my friends have significant others who are now also my close friend. And yeah, like we got plans to do things, but like I said, we don't see each other a lot. I ain't gonna be on the phone talking to a bunch of people all day, every day. But yeah, that's why I feel like happiest is with my close friends.
I see a lot of twos and threes and fives and twos. Oh, I'm sorry, Patreon. Yeah. Woo. I think I put my friends at an 8.
Yeah.
Love my friendships. Love the time I get to share with them. Love feeling connected.
Yeah.
One thing I told Marcus, I was like, I want to take an all-girls trip this year. I don't know if that's going to be possible, but I do. I want to be able to take an all-girls trip with my homegirls. I think I got better last year because that was something I brought up in therapy. Because of the pandemic and stuff, it was hard for me to get back into the routine of, like, having time cut out for my friends. Also, because we move further out, it is like we have to be intentional. Like, I'm not just in their neck of the woods anymore, or vice versa. It has to be an intentional mm-hmm. thing. So I do plan on, like, actually scheduling, dinner dates, sometimes scheduling double dates. 'Cause usually if me and Marcus go out on a date, it's just me and him. But possibly being like, and actually we, at the end of the year, we were like, hey, texted some friends and we're like, y'all want to go out to eat or get drinks before the end of the year? And it was great. It was low key. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to be able to do. More of
that. And that's what I like with even the like original group of friends we had out here. It was always low key, just kickback. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to throw some food on the grill and I let them fools know at 5 o'clock on Saturday, they be over the house by 8. Like, real low key, ain't nothing special. Like, and for me, just doing that, people coming over in they loungewear is like, that's what a true, like, friend, kickback, relaxing, ain't nothing on this but us just spending time together. And then nothing more, nothing less.
It's just going to take us, like, it ain't going
to. Yeah, but now we live further out, like you said, yeah.
Yeah, we just have to, like, tell them about it, like, you know, a few days in advance.
We got friends that's got grandkids now that's in another state. So now they out visiting them, like, literally once or twice a month. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So being able to do that, even, like, I haven't hosted a Mocha Mom meeting in 3 years. So that's happening Sunday. So being able to, like, while I'm still not going to be as active as I was back when I was president and we were starting the chapter, but, like, just reconnecting with them in a different way. And, you know, I had a policy. Long ago, Marcus was like, Angel, you can't make no more new friends. That's what he said. Policy's over with in 2024. Because that's not who I am.
That's me.
I don't mind making friends. You know what made me realize that? When I was putting my year in review together. and there are, and I'm not talking about friends like the people who pour into me and I pour into them. I'm not trying to create another Nina or Erica or Brescia or Denora or Quinn or Marquita. I'm not trying to create that, or Shania or Rhonda.
Keep going.
That's it. That will stop right there.
You gotta put Lauren in there. You gotta put...
Or Lauren. But for instance, me and Miss Christine, who I always have to describe to you who she is.
Yeah, I know
who she okay.
is. I know now.
Okay, great. So yeah. I don't have to do it no more. She was like, let's go out for lunch. I'm like, yeah, let's go out for lunch.
Yeah.
I noticed she was in my thing more often. She was in my, like, year end when I was looking at stuff, and there was somebody else that I was just like, huh, that is kind of like a new friend, and I don't mind it. Oh, the women at, I was about to say the name of the school, the women at the school that my son goes
yeah,
to.
Now the couples at that school, I'm like, let's see, y'all some cool ass people.
See?
Like, that's been the first time in a long time where I'm like, you know what, man, we should hang out.
Right.
I saw one of the dads recently. He said, man, we're going to get some cigars. I'm like, man, I'm going to hit you up right after the new year.
So I think before it was like this like daunting task of, yeah. Oh, God, another friend. Because a lot like those friendships that I mentioned before, like we lean on each other. Like we ain't got no problem sometimes throwing our whole weight at the other person, being like, I just need you to catch me right now. I promise I ain't gonna lean on you long. Those are not what the friendships have to be.
Right.
So like the women at my son's school, like we can go out for tacos and tequila, laugh, have a good time, and then maybe do it again in another month.
I lived out there for what, 12 years, 13 years. It's like, no, I don't want no new friends. I don't need no new friends. No, I ain't got the time. I don't care to get to know nobody or trust nobody. But now it's like, because I'm in a different chapter of life. It's like, it don't have to be that.
Yes.
It don't have to be that at all. Because it's like, yeah, it's like with at least three of the dads over there, I'm like, because we was all kicking. I don't remember where we were. And it was like the four of us was sitting around. I was like, oh yeah, these dudes right here. It's like, y'all remind me of my people. We need to kick back, and I could tell it was the same energy.
Yes. So
it's been.
So that's the reason why I said eight. All right, romance.
I'll keep good faith. I'm gonna just go ahead and put it at a 10.
No, tell the truth how you feel. Mine's out of the 10.
Mine either.
Okay, tell me.
You go first. I keep going first. I went first all the way. Look.
No, look, don't get afraid.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Don't get afraid now.
This is number 7 I done went first all these times.
Don't get afraid.
The last time I told you it wasn't a good thing, and it wasn't a good thing, telling you to go first. Listen to me.
Listen. But what wasn't a good thing?
Yo, Tanksley Tiffs.
That was great.
It was horrible.
See,
I'm going to go home and throw something away right now.
Why you being scared?
Ain't nobody scared.
That's what sounds
I'm
like.
Being a husband. You go first.
You being a scared one. I don't know. I think I put that at like a 6. We don't really do romance.
No, we don't.
That's why it's low. And I'm not talking about having the sex. Even though, yeah. But we don't do, I don't feel like, I don't think we do romance. Now, if we were just saying my marriage, that would be higher. But when I think of romance that specifically, it's low. So I think for me, if that is something... This is the thing. I put it at a 6, but I don't know how much I care or not that it's at a 6. So what I mean by that is, do I think it being at a 10 is going to strengthen our marriage more? I don't know if I would necessarily say that. So I've never been a person where romance was something that was needed to like, to get me to feel intimate feelings about you, to feel vulnerable with you, But I'm also like, but chick, you really have never had that to be able to say what it would do or it might not do. So I think that I'll be putting more intention towards the romance to see what it would feel like at an 8. Mm. Yeah, to see what it feel like between us.
I was going to put it at a solid 5.
How you going to say 10 at first? So you being
scared. I told you exactly. Why? I was going to put it at 5, but for the same reason, it's like, even like earlier on, like dating, like romance for us was never like, ooh, let's go out. Like, what is that? What do we define as romance?
Let's look it up.
No, not what it says. What do we define as romance?
Well, I'm saying I need to look it up. Romance. Hold on. Somebody asked, who's more romantic? I can't wait to hear what you say about this.
Who's more romantic?
Mm-hmm. Between me or you?
It's both, neither one of us.
I'll say this. I have tried to do romantic things that I would quantify as romantic for Marcus, and that the look that he's giving me now is the look that I've gotten. I've tried to do candlelit. I remember when I tried to do a candlelit dinner at our first apartment, and he was like, can we blow these out? It's hot. I was like, okay.
What?
What you mean, what?
Blow the candles out?
Yes. You said the heat radiating from the candles was too hot.
On that little last table.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I have randomly got him flowers. And he was like,
why? Now I get you flowers a lot more often.
Oh, let's not say often. You might get them more than I have, but often is not the way we should.
Well, no, one time why did you get me flowers?
To be romantic.
Oh, yeah. No, randomly, I would just come home with flowers for Angel. I come home with a plant, them orchids that you like, or a flower.
I mean, it's been a while. Like, you'll do it for the dates.
No, like, it's been times I just randomly done it.
I just said it's been a while.
Then you said I'd do it for the dates when it wasn't.
No. I'm saying currently, you will do it for the dates. Like, that is when I can pretty much assume that you go. I remember one time, though, was it this? I think it might have been this past Valentine. You were like, I ain't get you no flowers because I know you ain't really into that. You remember this last Valentine?
Mm-hmm.
But typically you'll get it for me, like for Valentine's. It may be like either my birthday or our anniversary. I'm not saying you.
Okay. All right.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. You used to get them randomly, but now I know you consistently will give them for those specific dates.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, you feel like, is it accurate?
Yeah, that's fine. No, it's accurate.
Oh, okay. You say, yeah, that's fine. Like, whatever you say. Romance, a feeling of excitement or mystery associated with love. A quality feeling of mystery, excitement, and remoteness from everyday life. It's the, I would say the mystery part is what he doesn't like. So to be romantic to you in certain ways, it does not make him feel comfortable. Like the trip with you and BJ made you feel uncomfortable, even though the trip he actually liked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the like presentation of it. The romantic presentation of it, I guess. What's your definition of?
I don't know. I said we would have to figure out what our definition of romance is. Other than just, surprises and dinner. Like, yeah, I guess the unknown, the not knowing. Yeah. Or just a lot of times, like, we would just go out, like, just a random date night. Like, why wouldn't that be considered a romantic thing, being that we just going out for us to spend time together? Like, why does it have to be a Webster definition of romance?
I was trying to get that to help me figure out what
Yeah, no, I'm not saying to. I'm just saying that, why wouldn't that be considered romance?
So, for me, the mystery part is where I'm locking into on romance. So that's why, like, the first anniversary trip he took me on felt very romantic, and why I feel like our anniversary trips feel romantic is because there's the mystery of it, which makes it different than a date night to me, than a normal date night when we just like, let's go to our favorite restaurant real quick. But you, for you, you don't, romance is the removal of, I mean, shit. Romance does not need to have the mystery part to it.
No.
Yeah. Last but not least, personal growth.
7. Yeah. Let me see. 8. Put it at an 8.
Mm-hmm. Tell me why.
Just being navigating through where I've been, where my career is, where I am in life, and all the different changes. I feel like I, for the most part, I've handled pretty well. And even holding myself accountable for the unknowns, like the admitting to myself, like, I don't know what I'm doing right here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's find a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Or seeking out, you know, advice. That even, you know, the whole therapy thing, stepping into that and then hearing myself talk through things.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding, seeing where I want to improve as far as being, you know, the who I am as far as a husband, a father, and all that, and actively making efforts to change toward that. I feel like all that's growth.
Mm-hmm. I think this was the only other category I gave myself a 10. I think it was family and personal growth. And I only say that because I have been doing the work with my therapist for a year and a half to not only call out the things that I want for myself and pushing myself to get those things, but also taking real strong active attempts, even in failure, because being able to detach yourself from whether something is successful or if something fails is a huge personal growth for me and for a lot of people. A lot of people, they won't even try something because of the being afraid of if it'll go well or not.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, the emotional toll it takes if it does fail is like something that doesn't necessarily have to be. Especially when, if I can get to, which this is what has been like a huge jump for me, and I'm like, yep, girl, you're going to give yourself a 10 on this. The things that I get anxiety about or start to fear is what my therapist said was, you have an unmet need. And for me, lack of data on an outcome is typically my unmet need. And if I can get to the, okay, these are the possible outcomes and this will happen, and what? If I can get to that and what, which I've been able to get to faster and faster, I can breeze through whatever it is that I was afraid of. Like the tour, that first LA show, before we did it, I had finally got to an and what. And she said, okay, personal growth. My therapist did. I was like, thank you. I was like, I want this to sell out. It would be helpful if it sold out because we would know that the tour was going to be more successful.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, but if it doesn't, okay, we just don't do the tour. She was like, look at that. So that's why I give myself a 10. A lot of the things that used to have me, I'm talking about bubble guts, have my body toe up, I've been able to be like, girl, gather yourself.
Mm.
So, yeah. So I can't wait to see what y'all's numbers look like. Long story short, the way you look at this is with your circles, once you look at your circles and you mark a line on which ring you land on. The goal is in your life, if you were driving a car across the map that you've now created for yourself with these circles, these rings, is to have it be smooth as you possibly can. Obviously, it's going to be hard to have everything as a 10, but you don't want to have a bunch of 10s and then like twos here and there. Those twos you should be able to focus on and try to get them closer to, you know, where they want to be. And we're at the top of the year. Hopefully we can remember in like 6 months to come back and see if you all were able to get yourselves moved up, if we've moved up, if Marcus is feeling they moved his career out of the 3 area. If I romance, if we keep it at the 5 and the 6, or if we're like,
they want to know where you can find the wheel.
It's a Skillshare class, but what I'll do for our Patreon, I will scan this wheel, or I'll find a link to a wheel like it, because this is not the only person that had done this, and I'm gonna send it to y'all. So there'll be something on Patreon in a little bit. So what did you think about that little exercise?
It was good.
It's cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good, right?
Yeah.
He's trash, just like the type I won't take out. All right, guys.
Good high quality trash. Must be jury in them boxes you ain't thrown out.
All right, you guys. We are so happy to have you all again this year. We'll bring back comment of the week as well as audience question of the day at our next podcast. Let us know if there's anything you want to see out of us differently this season. We back, and we gonna be even better.
Back in the building, yeah.
All right. Until next time, let me not forget to tell you all what to do. Lord help us. If you have never rated and reviewed us on Apple Podcasts, go on ahead and do that for us today. Makes us more discoverable, because we want to add to our family, our and also our immediate family. So if you haven't, give our Patreon a try. We'll be doing fixing shit with the Tanksleys on Wednesday, as well as a bonus episode, a 30-minute very relaxed bonus episode on Friday. You also get the main episode of Here's the Thing live. You get Let Us Tell It live. You get The Bald and the Beautiful live. And Mommy Confessions is coming back, so you'll get those live as well. All this amazing content for $5, and you get to talk with us. We did a whole prayer. A whole prayer session for just our Patreon on New Year's. Where they do that at? On our Patreon, which is patreon.com/thatchickangel. Check out our sponsors, BetterHelp, HelloFresh, and Lumi. The only one that has a different code is HelloFresh, and that's argue free, but the rest are argue. So make sure you go over there and let them know we sent you. Follow me on That Chick Angel, at That Chick Angel, pretty much across every platform that I post. What you want to tell them, baby?
Just want to tell y'all can find me on Instagram at Marcus A. on the Gram, Facebook at Marcus A. on the Book, TikTok at Tank Don't Talk. Y'all can find my beard and body butter called Man Shit. You can go to manshyt.com and check that out. Yeah, that's it for now.
All right, y'all. Till next time, y'all be blessed.
Y'all have a good one, fam.
Bye.